has called us together today. It is Jesus who desires to live among us and through us so that God's love will be known. May we be rooted and grounded in love and in the presence of Jesus in this place and at this time. There are words. There are words printed in our bulletin, and we can share them together. I invite us to call one another to worship today. We will share together responsibly. I'm the not beloved part, because you, beloved, you are bold. So we will share together, saying, in the course of every working day, when our business takes us far away,
we will worship God.
When we care for children in our home,
we will worship God.
When our audience is you alone,
we will worship God. Whatever we do in word or deed, we do for the one who sets us free. When we are on our feet or on our knees, God, we will worship you.
Maybe so. And I invite us to join together to sing, "We Are God's People." I invite you to rise if you are able, in body or in spirit, as we join to sing. Number 2220 in our black book. I invite you to take a moment to find your center, your anchor. And know that your anchor is God. God roots you and grounds you in love. God loves you. There is no one beyond the reach of God. God knows you by name. God knows each of us by name. God's love is unconditional, unceasing, and free. I invite you to take a moment, take your hand, and write on your palm, with your finger, unless you want to write it in pen or pencil, but take your palm and write on your palm the names of the people for whom you are praying, the names of the places for which you are praying. As you feel guided, this is a good time, if you would like, to share aloud your joys and your concerns. Are there people for whom you would like to share aloud?
My youngest brother Paul is going to cancer surgery.
Prayers for the people of the synagogue that was burned down.
Thank you for sharing.
Animal Allies got a blessing this week. I delivered 23 dog beds. That's a joy.
Of God, bind us together. Together we become a community that loves and cares for one another, that shares one another's joys, and helps to carry one another's burdens. We become the body of Christ. And we pray together. We pray without ceasing. And there are words printed in our bulletin that we can share together out loud. We can pray together saying,
here we are, screen watchers, cell phone carriers, workers, parents, friends. We move the data or organize the program and keep people informed. We seek to know and control and manage, and then in breathtaking ways, us to sing. You compel us to hold our hands. You
pray together. We can pray to our common parent, saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We sometimes live with the understanding that when we pray, we have to use words. We have to write them down and make sure that they sound good when we say them out loud. And that's not true. Paul reminds us that we can pray without ceasing. And sometimes we can pray with words. But a lovely prayer is peace. And a way to pray it is to share it. I invite you to become the prayers that we say. I invite you to pass the peace of Christ. Will you? Never before ever happened experience my whole life. But the thing that I love about football is this thing called the huddle. What's a huddle? This is what a huddle is. This is a huddle where you get together like this, and you crouch down like this. Crouch down. Crouch down, put your hands on your knees like this. You get down like this, and you figure out what your game plan is going to be for the rest of the day.
teens. You can find it on page 335 in your pew Bible, and we're jumping around verses a little bit this morning. So, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, King Sennacherib of Syria came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. King Hezekiah of Judah sent to the king of Assyria at Lachish, saying, "I have done wrong. Withdraw from me whatever you impose on me, I will bear." The king of Assyria demanded of King Hezekiah of Judah 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house. At the time, Hezekiah stripped the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the doorposts that Hezekiah of Judah had overlaid and gave it to the king of Assyria. The king of Assyria sent the Tartan, the Ripsaris, and the Rabshakeh with a great army from Lachish to King Hezekiah of Jerusalem. They went up and came to Jerusalem. When they arrived, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is the highway of the fuller's field. When they called for the king, there came up to them Elkin, son of Hilkiah, who was in charge of the palace, and Shebna, the secretary, and Joah, son of Asa, the reporter. Moving on to verse 28 here. Then Rabshakeh stood and called out in a loud voice in the language of Judah, "Hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you out of my hand. Do not let Hezekiah make you rely on the Lord by saying, 'The Lord will surely deliver us,' and the city will not be given into the hands of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, 'Make your peace with me and come out to me. Then every one of you will eat from your own vine and your own fig tree and drink water from your own cistern, until I come and take you away to the land like your own land, a land of grain and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive oil and honey, that you may live and not die. Do not listen to Hezekiah when he misleads you, saying, 'The Lord will deliver us.' Has any of the gods of the nations ever delivered its land out of the hands of the king of Assyria?" When Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he said to Elkanah, who was in charge of the palace, and Shebna, the secretary, and the senior priests, covered with sackcloth, to the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz. They said to him, "Thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of distress, of rebuke, and of disgrace. Children have come to the birth, and there is no strength to bring them forth. It may be the Lord your God heard all the words of Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to mock the living God, and will rebuke the words of the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left." When the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, Isaiah said to them, "Say to your master, 'Thus says the Lord, do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard, with which the servants of King Assyria have reviled me. I myself will put a spirit in him, so that he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land. I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own hand."
Wow. Yeah. Have you ever heard a sermon on 2 Kings before? Ever? Holy cow, Michelle. Very nice work. Very nice work.
I forgot I was reading today. I would have read.
You did a great job. did we do to make God so angry at us? What did we do to deserve this egg, this horrible thing? They write their history, and they look back on it, and they're like, oh, that's why. We were being humans, and we got in trouble. But this is a story where there's a king who doesn't suck, who's not terrible. Hezekiah is known as a righteous king and saves Judah, the southern kingdom, for a wee little while. Saves it from the Assyrians, well, only for it to be destroyed 100 years later by Babylon, but for a little while, things were really good. And this is that story of making things good for a while. So, picture it. This is, here it is, I'll tell you a little bit. The Assyrians have surrounded Jerusalem, and all attention is on the wall. The wall.
And they figure out what it is they're
to do. This is all becomes a holy huddle, and it is vital to the saving of the people. This holy huddle can be a church or a family or even a married couple. For those of you who are married, maybe you do know the sacred, salvific power of conversations shared between the two of you at night or early in the morning, in your bed, on the couch. When I counsel people who are about to get married, I remind the couple that they need to know where the walls and windows are. And they need to know where to put a wall so that it's a sacred, holy huddle between just the two of them. Nobody else can see what's happening in this little sacred circle. There are places for walls. There's a place for windows. And a window is so people can see in and see what we're doing and have an engagement. Sometimes we need to shut the windows and have a sacred, holy conversation to root us and ground us. These holy huddle conversations shape us and transform us. These holy huddle conversations transform our imagination of what is possible and create a transformed vision of what could be possible. And if we had people who were transformed from the inside out, imagine what kind of policy and procedures these people could create or take with them to the wall. The characterization behind the wall of God as the living God is more important and more life-giving than the conversation at the wall, which dismisses God's power and dismisses God's reality at all. But these are simultaneous conversations. The conversation behind the wall turns out to be decisive for how the people relate to the empire on the wall. Ruhrman, who is a very well-respected Hebrew Bible scholar, claims that words of faith translate into lives of faith. And if he says it, then it must be so. We create together a reading of reality that creates resistance. He suggests that people of faith must be bilingual and have a public language on the wall for negotiation and a communal language for us to use behind the wall. Christians should be bilingual, able to speak to the empire and its negotiators, but also speak the language of faith where a different perception is at work. Speak the language of empire, it will not go away. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. Facebook, Instagram, movies, television, politics. But unless there is a conversation behind the wall, here in our churches, in our holy huddle, there will be another language, a language of faith, with another agenda. Judah at the wall will not submit to imperial perceptions of reality. The system will nullify every other truth. The conversation behind the wall, the language of faith, makes a difference in what we say at the wall. The conversation behind the wall is a prior claim. It is our native tongue. We know these words by heart, right? Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Morning by morning, your mercies I see. I come to the garden alone, while the kids. Not just our kids, but all of us are inundated by the occupying culture, by empire, so to speak. It is tantalizing because it seems so real, so vibrant, so profitable. The empire is handing out scripts all day long that we think we're supposed to follow. Unless faith and the churches who hold it remind people who we are, who we belong to, why we are here, and what our future hope looks like, then empire is the only view of reality that we have. But thank God we have an alternative view of reality. We are Christians. Translating scripture into the common spoken languages of the people is a basic missional practice. Translating scripture into Greek, then Latin, and then into the Celtic languages, into German, Norwegian, Russian, and then by 1500, with the printing press, everybody who could read the Bible for themselves. And then John and Charles Wesley standing at the doorway of the mouths of the mines and in bars singing our faith with two familiar drinking songs. When we translate our faith, we hand it over and entrust it to the people who are not empowered. We entrust our faith to the people on the margins. To people like you and me, to young people, to newly converted people. These people, when they translate the faith, will create new ways of being church, which ought to snap us back into our senses. Faith is a way of life. It's not a bunch of information to memorize. Fluency requires communities that embody the tradition, our faith. Fluency requires that we connect our faith to our daily lives. All the conversations in the whole world make no sense apart from a community of people who thoughtfully live out their commitments. Because nothing that we say matters as much as the things that we do. May it be so.
If I do this thing, they'll know you're Christians. Fire up. 2223 in the black animal is on the street.
We are one in the spirit, we are one.
participate in giving and receiving, and giving and receiving again and again and again. I invite us to give and receive our morning offering.
Make it for moms, because this is what moms do. The moms will bring it
She's going to talk to us after worship. If you want to come and join, there will be a faith forum on the couches out there to talk about LARC, the Transgender Resource Library, and all of the resources that LARC offers for the transgender community and in anybody in our region and in our area. Is there anything you want to add that I should? You're good. Come meet Sue and talk about LARC.
Today is the last day to order pickles, so if you haven't ordered them, please sign up for them because I'm taking the sheet home. You will be able to pick up your pickles at the bake sale with the cashiers. They'll have all of the pickles sitting by them. We have boxes for those who have ordered more than six and to take them out. The kitchen ladies that are here, if you will let me know if you are not going to continue helping with fellowship, I'm fixing that sheet. I need to know those who are not going forward with this. Otherwise, I can just continue with what we're doing. I also have the sign-up sheet for the bake sale. If you're bringing baked goods on Friday, you can put them in the basement. If you're bringing them on Saturday morning, they have to be here early, and you bring them to the Matheson room to be priced. I also need at least two or three people to help Nancy Severson price the baked goods. And she does that on Friday night and Saturday. So if you think you can give us a hand and help us, please let me know. I think that's about it. Holy cow.
Thanks, Bill. Can you, Jack, pass this over to Donna?
I mentioned that the dog beds were joined to the Animal Allies, but there's also the announcement that in a couple of months we are going to do it again. We had about 8 or 9 ladies that spent 5 hours maybe, included with a wonderful potluck. So when you see in the announcement that we're going to make dog beds, put it on your calendar.
Thank you. Oops, okay. It's now back to Michelle. Teamwork. Holy Hollywood.
And I probably should have said this during raising concerns, but this week we are interviewing for a director for our Hope for Kids Nursery School, our Child Care Center. So please keep all the committee members in your mind as we interview and get a leader for our nursery school.